Happy Mother's Day. Are y'all glad that you get to worship God this morning? And we get to honor our mothers today. Let's stand up and worship.
You are my champion.
God, I thank you that you give me confidence, Lord Jesus. I thank you, God, that you have every victory in your hand, Lord Jesus, already, Lord God. And even when I feel like I'm failing, God, and even when I'm running towards you, God, I can just have confidence that you are there to catch me, Lord Jesus. God, that I can run into your arms, Lord God, even when things are rough and when things are good, Lord Jesus, I can come to you, Lord Jesus, and I can be your daughter. Jesus, thank you that you tell me who I am in your name, Jesus. God, that you give me everything that I need. You're the source of my life, Jesus. I praise you, God.
Done with the hiding, no reason to wait.
thing around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. I'm calling on the name. It changes everything. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. Turn it around, Jesus. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around.
I'm glad we serve a God that can turn it around. Amen. Whatever we're facing. Father God, we come to you today and we just pray that indeed you would do that. Lord, as I lift up some people to the Lord today, I pray that you would turn their situation around, that you would touch them, that you would help them, heal them, save them, minister to them, whatever their need is. Father God, I know there's people right here in this meeting this morning, in this sanctuary, and watching by live stream. Lord, they need you to minister to their need. They have a need, and we declare right now, Lord Jesus, that you are able to supply that need, that you are able to do what is needed. Father, I pray that you would be with Anna Davis this week as she has surgery. I pray that you would be with Josh Davis. I pray that you'd continue to help Rendy to recover from her surgery. I pray, Father God, that you would touch Brother Steve Hopkins, Lord, as he needs a healing in his body. Lord, and so many others, Lord, today, lift up Regina, Terry's daughter, Regina. We just lift her up today. Lord, we just pray that you would minister to her and so many others. And Father God, turn our nation around. Lord, our nation needs to come back to you. So, Father God, we just pray for a healing in our land. We pray for revival in our land. We pray, God, that you would move across this nation, across our world. Lord Jesus, let the wind of the Holy Spirit blow across this world in a mighty, mighty way, that things turn around, just as we've sung about this morning. And Lord, just have your way in this service this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen. You may be seated.
Lord, I wish I had something to do.
Thanks for letting me sleep in, kids.
If you make a mess in the kitchen, please let me know so I can clean it up. Raising kids is so easy.
I just love driving around all day.
Oh, I never have to repeat myself. They always listen so carefully.
Oh, look, an empty box of cereal. Love it.
Just wipe it on your sleeve.
It's pretty cold, but you don't need a coat.
Oh, you don't have to push in your chair.
Don't make your bed. You're just going to sleep in it again later. I think I'll skip the coffee today.
You know, these throw pillows look way better on the floor.
I'm really not that busy. Well, you haven't showered in 3 days, but I think you smell great.
We do have food at home, but let's just go out to eat.
Just brush your teeth whenever you feel like it. Here, take my phone charger and go put it in your room. Oh, just leave your dirty dishes on the counter.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, let's all pull on our phones.
Youth sports are so cheap.
Braces are so cheap.
School fees are so cheap.
Hey, can you come crawl in bed with me around 2 a.m.?
Thanks.
Okay, I just spent 2 hours making dinner, but if you don't like it, that's fine. Just let me know and I'll make you something else.
Don't even bother looking for that. I'm sure it's lost and gone forever.
Can somebody please throw something at my head?
I mean, I can keep track of every single one of your things. I get a ton of sleep. I get a ton of gratitude from my children. I get a ton of unsolicited help with the housework.
Oh, you don't have to hurry up. We're gonna be right on time.
Can someone please throw something at the TV? Thanks for doing the laundry, everyone.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Can you use your outside voice?
Fight, fight, fight!
The floor of this vehicle is so clean, I can't believe it.
Oh, good. Another trip to the grocery store today. Let's go. Hey, I'm gonna hop in the shower. Does somebody want to come use the bathroom while I'm in here?
Oh, I saw that video this week and I said, oh, we are playing that. We are playing that for sure. Moms, I mean, did you hear yourself? You thought those are all the things you normally say, except the opposite, the opposite. How many of you are just, you just need one more kid to crawl in bed with you about 2 a.m? Come on. Come on now. Well, we want to say happy Mother's Day. And what I want to do right now is if you're a mom, please stand up. We want to give you a hand clap for all the moms. Yay. We love you, Mom. We love you. We love you. Even though you make us brush our teeth and you make us take baths more regularly than we want to and all those things. And we want to say happy, happy Mother's Day to you. And hope you're enjoying the videos. We want to do some Mother's Day awards. And I have my very own Vanna White. yeah. Yes. She said, he said, thanks, Pat. Yeah, it's Van kind of white, but mostly balding. Okay. All right. So, hey, we're going to give away three awards today. And the first one is the mother with the most family present. This requires math, all right? This requires you counting how many people you have here today with you that you consider family. If you don't consider them family, then they can't count for the award. You can't take the award now and then later say they can't eat with you, okay? So if you count these people, they have to be able to hang out with you after the service too, all right? So does anybody have more than 10 people? Yeah. Anybody else have more than 10 family members? Okay, well, that's simple. My mom and my mother-in-law will arm wrestle for, y'all can split the cookie. Y'all can split the cookie. Let's give them a hand. Good job. Good job. Congratulations on encouraging your son to have a gajillion children. So, our second award is the mother with the youngest baby present. Youngest baby present. All right. Youngest baby present has to be outside of the womb. All right. So we're not going to count in the womb at this point. Anybody have one that's under one? Under one. All right. I think that the Dreavers are going to win this with the brand new twin babies. Can anybody beat, what are we at, 6 weeks? 8 weeks? Anybody beat 8 weeks? All right, let's give her a hand. Congratulations. And the mother with the most experience. Mother with the most experience. And I now know why Pastor had me do the awards. Okay. How do you do that? Okay. Okay. Huh? No, I think it's the oldest mom here is what we're saying. We're going to say, yeah. All right. I think he's Sister Boykin. Anybody going to be 94? 94? No? Sister Boykin, you won an award. And I'm pretty certain that Sister Boykin wants me to have that cookie. So I'll be back later to share it with you, Sister Boykin. She didn't tell me that. But I just know the giving heart of Sister Boykin. So we want to say, even though we can't give awards to everyone, we love each of our moms. So we're so thankful for you. Thank you. Thankful that you're here today. Thank you for all the things you do. And so I'm just going to say like thank you 10 times. And this will be for the next 10 things that your children or your husband, mainly your husband, doesn't thank you for that he should have. All right. So thank you. 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 And oh, thank you. All right. So there's 10 extra thank yous. And that'll probably get you to at least 4 o'clock this afternoon. So after that, you're on your own again. And we want to say welcome to any guests that are here. If you are a first-time guest here, we want to say we're so happy that you're here today. And if you would fill out the card that's in the seat back in front of you, that would give us a record of your attendance, and we would really, really appreciate that. And then you can place it in the offering bag that's going to pass in just a little bit here. But while you're doing that, I have a few announcements for you this morning. First of all, there's no evening service tonight. We want you to hang out with Mom. And if you go out to eat, you'll probably still be there anyway by the time evening service starts. So How many of you are going out to eat? Come on now. There you go. All you brave people. Appreciate it. Yes. All right. And then next Sunday, you do not want to miss next Sunday morning. We are having Graduate Sunday. We have 8 graduates we're going to be honoring with video and presentation and gift and all of that. And so we want you to be here and celebrate with all of our graduates. And then on the 23rd, that evening, we have Noble's Got Talent. So maybe you have a hidden talent. Lance Ridenour told me that he and Jeremy will be doing interpretive dance with ribbons. And so that will be worth the price of admission just for that. And so you can sign up to sing, you can sign up to play an instrument, you can sign up to do whatever and share your talent, but we'd like you to sign up in the back there on the sheet so we know who all is preparing something for that evening, and we're going to have a wonderful night of just celebrating the talents within our congregation. And then if you'll notice, there's a new announcement in your bulletin that Powwow 2021 is coming up Friday, June 11th through Sunday, June 13th, and you can see either Kevin Boydston or David Smith, and they can get you signed up for that. It's for boys age 8 to 18, and you don't want to miss that. So see them. Obviously, we still have camp registrations as far as that. You need to make sure you see Pastor Chad if you're going to kids camp, which would be elementary kids. Come see me if you have a junior or a high schooler that's interested. I've still got a few spots, not very many, but a few spots, and we'd love for them to go to camp with us this year. Well, I'm going to ask the ushers to come as we give of the tithe and offering this morning. As they come, I'm going to pray of the tithe and offering in just a moment, but I'm going to tell you as soon as I get through praying, as we receive the tithe and offering, we have a special Mother's Day video starring your children. And so be scared. Who knows what they said, but you're about to find out in just a moment. So, Lord, we thank you today for all that you bless us with. We thank you for the tithe. We thank you for the offering. We thank you, Lord, that you just use what we give, you multiply it, and Lord, you further the kingdom of God. We thank you once again for moms today, and we thank you for the rest of this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Enjoy.
I like to play video games with mom. I like to eat food that she makes, and I like to play with her, go on vacation, hunt. Go shopping to the mall. I like to math with her. Make stuff with her. Like make food and stuff. That's a hard one. Just hanging out with her in general. Just being with her.
Like help her with stuff and help her with the dishwasher. And then after that, my mom and me like to draw stuff on books.
Help her clean, do the dishes, and help her with the groceries.
Being with us and playing with us.
Can we listen to her? With me listening, cleaning my room, doing my homework. And yeah. I like to play Roblox with her.
She is happy when I make her stuff, because last time she wanted to make. She wanted me to make a ring for her, so I did, and she was happy.
A lot of things, and sometimes it's actually hard to tell, like, what she likes, because seriously, it's hard to get some like birthday presents.
When I gave her hugs and kisses. When I gave her gifts.
The warm one. I don't think she has a favorite place to go.
Play. To the birthday play.
California, San Diego.
Chinese places?
Not really certain.
Oh, to my house? Well, all I know is that she likes going to church.
I would say, I think the Mexico restaurant I actually
have. I would say speed. She doesn't really like going to McDonald's all the time.
Playing the star.
Her hair.
How nice she is.
She has a great personality.
Well, probably that she pushes me to do the right thing.
That she's my mom and she's really nice.
Oh, level ball cooking instead.
Can you blow me a kiss? Hey, can you blow mommy a kiss? Mwah. Do it again.
She helps me with my homework.
Give me a hug.
I got a hug for me. She wakes me up in the morning. She picks out my clothes. She takes me out to eat a lot, to special restaurants.
She hugs me.
Cause I love the family. That she hugs me and she makes food for me. Oh, I know that she pushes me to do the right thing, and that means she loves me because people that really love you want to make it so that you do the right thing.
We help and she helps me with my family and my things for school. Because
happy mom, happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. And make sure you're watching this video. I love you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day.
I love you, Mom. And do prayer. Good night.
I love you, Mom. And happy Mother's Day.
I love you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. I love you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I love you.
Love you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
I love you.
I love you, Mommy.
Happy
Mother's Day.
Happy Mom, Happy Mother's Day.
I love you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day.
I love you, Mom. Happy
Mother's
Day.
Oh, my God. Can you say Mama? Say Mama.
Mama.
Say I. Love. Say love. Mama. Good job. Happy Mother's Day.
Bye.
All right. Thank you, Jessica and Caleb, for putting that together. Didn't they do a great job? Amen. Praise God. Good to see all of you here today on this Mother's Day. So glad to have lots of children and parents here and lots of wonderful faces. Amen. Today's message is not my normal Mother's Day sermon. Normally, I would speak about what a godly mother looks like and maybe give you some examples from the Bible. I might talk about how we should honor our mothers and give thanks for their input and their impact in our lives. And all those things are things I would normally do. However, that is not the subject of today's message. I think we can say Happy Mother's Day to everyone, and we have, and we love and appreciate all of you. I think one of the things that would make a mom most happy is that her kids follow them to heaven one day, that our kids are in heaven with us. And so while we are grateful for our moms and while moms should strive to be all they were meant to be, I believe that we are living in the last days. I believe the coming of the Lord is soon, and we need to be making sure that all of our loved ones are ready because Jesus is coming. So take your Bible and turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, or excuse me, chapter 3. As we set the stage for this message. A message entitled, Roadblocks to Hell. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This is my second letter to you, dear friends. In both of them, I have tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory. I want you to remember what the holy prophets said long ago and what our Lord and Savior commanded through your apostles. Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. They will say, "What happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created." They deliberately forget that God made the heavens by the word of his command, and he brought the earth out from the water and surrounded it with water. Then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. They are being kept for the day of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. And 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire. And the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live, looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. On that day, he will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth he has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. And so, dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in his sight. And remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. This is what our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom God gave him. Father, I thank you today for this opportunity to stand behind this pulpit to declare your word. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would minister to each and every person here today and those watching over the live stream. I pray that you would speak to hearts. For no man can be saved unless the Holy Spirit draws them. And Lord Jesus, we just need you to guide and direct us in this message this morning. Give us ears to hear. Give us minds to receive and give us a heart to receive all that you want to say to us in Jesus' name. Amen. A drunkard husband spending the evening with his jovial companions at a tavern boasted that if he should take a group of his friends home with him at midnight and ask his Christian wife to get up and cook supper for them, she would do it without complaint. The crowd considered it a vain boast and dared him to try it by a considerable wager. So the drunken crowd went home with him, and he made the unreasonable demands of his wife. She obeyed, dressed, came down, and prepared a very nice supper just as quickly as possible and served it as cheerfully as if she had been expecting them. After supper, one of the men, a little more sober than the others, asked her how she could be so kind when they had been so unreasonable, and two, knew she did not approve of their conduct. Her reply was, "Sir, when my husband and I were married, we were both sinners. It has pleased God to call me out of that dangerous condition. My husband continues in it. I tremble for his future state. Were he to die as he is, he would be miserable forever. I think it is my duty to render his present existence as comfortable as possible." The wise and faithful reply affected the whole company. The husband thanked her for the warning and went and became a serious Christian and a good husband. Great, great response to his wife's wisdom. Miserable forever. That doesn't sound like much fun, does it? In fact, the Bible says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The legendary rock group AC/DC recorded a song called "Hell Ain't a Bad Place to Be" back in 1977. But I would have to say they've never been there, and that's certainly not what the Bible says. It will be a terrible place to be. So terrible that, as we read, that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so terrible that the Lord is not willing to anyone to go there, he puts up roadblocks to deter them from doing so. Let me tell you, friends, any person that finds his or herself in hell one day will only be there because they ignored the roadblocks that the Lord put before them. This morning, I want to give you 7 roadblocks that the Lord puts in the paths of people to keep them from going to hell. Roadblock number 1, the Word of God, the Bible. This book is found in nearly every hotel and motel room and hospital room in America, even in other countries, thanks to the Gideons and many others that put the word out there. We see scriptures from the Bible that are often seen on billboards, often seen on social media. Scriptures that say God is love. Scriptures that talk about Jesus saves. Scriptures that say Jesus is coming. We see it all around. This book is preached from, it is taught from, it is quoted in church services, in Sunday school classes, in vacation Bible schools and camps all around the world. Leaders in our land place their hands on this book when they are sworn into office. It is still the best-selling book of all time. Hebrews 4:12 says it is alive and powerful, and it pierces the heart. You see, it's not just any book. It's divinely inspired. It's a book that has power because it is filled with the Spirit of God as it is quoted and as it is read. Matthew 24, 35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. There's a lot of things that people think are so permanent now, and this is the way it is right now. I want to tell you, everything as we know it's going to pass away, but God's word will still be standing forever and ever and ever. God's word is a roadblock. And if a person goes to hell, it's because they chose to ignore and go around the roadblock of God's word. It's because they chose to ignore great scriptures like, if God be for you, who can be against you? Or scriptures like, greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. Scriptures that says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Scriptures that talk about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we could go on and we could quote hundreds of scriptures that are in the pages of this book that the Lord has given us. You see, there was a time in history when only the priest had the Bible. But I'm glad we live in a day now. Well, the Bible is everywhere. Probably most of you have at least more than one copy in your house. You may have two or three or ten. I'm thankful for the Word of God, and the Word of God is very prevalent, especially in our country where it's everywhere. So if a person goes to hell, they're going to have to ignore everything that the Bible talks about. Roadblock number two. A message or sermon that you have heard in the past. Is there anybody here today that this is the very, very first sermon you've ever heard in your entire life? Raise your hand. I didn't think so. Is anybody brave enough to say today, this is only your fifth sermon that you've ever heard? Most of us in here have heard 1,000 sermons. And those watching online, you've heard sermons. You've been to funerals. You've been to weddings. You've been to different places where there has been a sermon that has been preached on the internet. You've watched it on television. Maybe you flipped it onto a Christian station and there was a preacher preaching. Or on the radio. Somewhere, most everyone has heard Jesus talked about. They've heard the name of Jesus. My goodness, it's on our coins. In God we trust. You can't go hardly and live anywhere in this land, at least. Now, other places and other parts of the world, they could actually say they've not heard the name of Jesus. There are places, as we heard from missionaries, where there is no mention of Jesus, and they're working hard to get the people the good news there. But most of us here in the U.S. and probably everyone in this service and watching online, you have heard a sermon. You have heard a preacher get up and preach like I am this morning and talk about Jesus and give an altar call and say, hey, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by him. That sermon you heard was another roadblock that God put in your path to keep you from going to hell. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. The Bible talks about the purpose of preaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. He says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. Since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended, and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. But to those who are called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Through the foolishness of preaching, foolish to people that are perishing, but power to those who have been saved. I've grown up in church all my life. I can't remember a day when I wasn't at church. I've heard thousands of sermons. And you know what? I'm thankful for every one of them. I'm thankful for those I can remember, very few. But I know they did good that day that I heard them. It's like I could ask you today, what did you have for supper last Tuesday? You probably couldn't tell me. You might not even remember what you had for dinner yesterday. You might could think about that. But you know what? Every one of those meals did you good at the time. That's the way it is. People say, well, why should I worry about what preachers say? I can't remember it anyway. Well, it'll do you good at the time. And so I'm thankful for the sermons that I have heard that have brought me to the place where I am today and have brought you to the place where you are today. Maybe you aren't serving God here today, but you've heard enough sermons to know, hey, I really need to go to church today. You see, one day every person will hear their last sermon that they ever will hear. We've had proof of that recently. We had unexpected deaths of some people even related to our church here when suddenly they were here one day and gone the next. We never know when it will be the last sermon, the last time a preacher gets up and opens the Word and reads something from the Bible and gives an altar call. We don't know when that last time will be. We never know when that will be because we are not guaranteed another day on this earth. So the Word of God is a roadblock. A sermon or a message that you've heard in the past, another roadblock. Number three, friends, peers, and people you know who are Christians and their godly influence. Someone you work with. Maybe you have a Christian person that you work with and they're always talking about God or talking about church. Maybe you have someone in your family that's a really dedicated Christian. Maybe you have a neighbor or a classmate that's a Christian, and their influence. When you think about friends or influences in your life, you may think about a former pastor or Sunday school teacher or youth leader or coach or teacher at school, somebody that has spoken into your life. Let me tell you, God puts people in your life for a reason and a season. To point you to the one that can save you. To point to you to the one that can change you. To point you to the one that can give you eternal life. You see, it also changes the path of not only you, but it changes the path of your family. My mom and dad didn't go to church when I was born. But a pastor witnessed to my dad. It changed the whole course of the Lance family. That happened in Acts chapter 16. It's one of my favorite stories. Paul and Silas were put in jail for preaching. It says in verse 25, it says that around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. That's probably what we would all be doing if we were in jail, right? Singing and praising the Lord. No, we might be singing, gloom, despair, and agony on me. No, they were praising God. I don't know what they were singing, but they were praising God. And it says, and the other prisoners were listening. Can I stop right there and tell you that people are listening to you? Christian people are listening to you. They may not tell you they're listening. They may not come up to you and say, hey, I thank you for your influence in my life. I thank you for the words. I thank you for your attitude. I thank you for the way you witness for the world. They're probably not going to tell you that to your face, but they're listening. They're watching. It says, suddenly there was a massive earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, stop! Don't kill yourself! We're all here! The jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household." And they shared the word of the Lord with them and with all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. He brought them into his house and set a meal before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. Isn't that an awesome testimony? Because a couple of guys let their light shine and had some influence on some people that were watching. And because God was working, a whole family was changed. That jailer there in Philippi met some men of God named Paul and Silas who pointed him to Jesus, and it changed his entire family. If you wind up in hell someday, it's because you went around the Christian influence, the people that God put in your path to point you in the right direction. The next roadblock is really pertinent to today, because roadblock number four is a mama or a daddy's prayer. A mama or a daddy's prayer is a roadblock. How many of you had a mama and a daddy that prayed for you? And have? Oh. Maybe grandparents that prayed for you? If you had a Christian mama or daddy and Christian grandparents, you were very blessed. And you are very blessed. The last and most heartbreaking thing that they would want is for you to go to hell and miss out on the greatest and most valuable thing ever, and that is eternal life in heaven with Jesus and with your family. I had a great grandpa be my mother's grandpa. Every morning, without fail, he got up at his house in Woodward, Oklahoma, Brother Larry. He got up in his house in Woodward, and he went down to what used to be the coal chute, and he would pray. And his prayers would rise up from that coal chute and up through the pipes. And my grandpa, his son, testified that that's what he woke up to every morning. That's quite an alarm clock, to wake up to your daddy calling your name in prayer. And I'm sure he called my mom's name in prayer, his granddaughter. I'm sure he called the future generations. I never knew him. He died before I was born. But I'm kind of thinking that probably some of the reason that I've been blessed and that our family has had the influence of Christ in our lives is because of that great grandpa who got up without fail and prayed and said, "God, bless my family, bless my children." And you know, his own son, my grandpa, he didn't get saved till he was in his 60s or 70s. And I've told you that story before, how he pulled his mail truck off on the side of the road and got down in the ditch and said, "Jesus, save me." I want to tell you, the prayers of a mom or dad, they are stored up in heaven and they will be answered. If you go to hell someday and you had a Christian praying mama, it's because you kicked aside the barricade of that prayer and said, "I don't care anymore. I know they want me to be saved, but I got other plans." My friend and fellow minister, Dr. Terry Trammell, shared this story on social media on Thursday as a tribute to Christian mothers. He said four scholars were arguing over Bible translations. One said he preferred the King James Version because of its beauty and eloquent Old English. Another said he liked the New American Standard Version for its literalism and how it moves the reader from passage to passage with confident feelings of accuracy from the original text. The third scholar was sold on the New Living Translation for its use of contemporary phrases and idioms that capture the meaning of difficult ideas. After being quiet for a moment, the fourth scholar admitted, "I have personally preferred my mother's translation." When the other scholars started laughing, he said, yes, she translated the scriptures. My mom translated each page of the Bible into life. It is the most convincing translation that I have ever read. So it is that Christians are an epistle known and read of all men. And the living translation that many of us read long before we opened a Bible was the life that our beloved mother lived before us. Good job, Dr. Terry. I like that. We're all living Bibles. So if a person does not make heaven, they ignored the Bible, they ignored messages from the past, they've ignored friends and peers and classmates or co-workers that tried to witness them. They went around mom and daddy's prayer. Roadblock number five is God the Father. God provides the sunshine. He provides the rain. He provides the food, the air that we breathe, the beautiful creation we enjoy from the mountains of Colorado to the shores of the coasts of Florida. God created a beautiful world. One of these days, I want to go see one of God's greatest creations in the U.S., the Grand Canyon. I've never been there, but I'd like to go see that. The Bible says in Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. And he continues on about what God created. God, the Father, created a beautiful world to display his handiwork. But more than that is the famous verse that everyone in here and those watching can have heard and probably know and could quote. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, my friends, we would have to literally go around the heart of God, a God who loves us, a God who created us, a God who sent his very own Son to die on the cross and pay for our sin. If you end up in hell after your life on this earth is over, you will have to go around God's amazing grace and love. Roadblock number six, Jesus Christ the Son. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. Our life to the full. Who's the thief? Satan. Who's the giver of life? Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Why do people reject the one who gives life and follow the one who takes life? Why? Why do people snub the one who gave his life, died on the cross, shed his blood, and follow the one who's a deceiver, a liar, a destroyer, and one who wants to kill? Jesus died on the cross to show us how much he loved the world. If you go to hell, you'll have to go around the shed blood of Jesus as it cries out, "This blood is for you." In reality, you're trampling over the very blood that could set you free. Don't follow the thief. Follow the one who gives life. Don't allow your life to be pulled away from God by the thief. Reject the thief. The Bible says resist the devil, then he will flee. Don't let the things of the world drag you away from what you know is right. Remember the blockades. I really wanted to go and find a big, huge sign that said, bridge out, road closed. I went to the Cleveland County yard and couldn't find anybody. One of these days, I'm going to get a big, huge sign. Because I believe God puts big, huge signs, not just some orange cones. He puts a lot of things out there to say, hey, you don't want to go this way. You don't want to go the wide road. You want to find the narrow road that leads to life. Follow the one who sets you on the path to eternal life. Follow the one who changes you from the inside out. You see, a lot of people say, well, I don't want to become a Christian because I'll just mess up. I'll just mess up. Yeah, you will. Y'all remember when you first tried to learn how to ride a bike? Are we trying to teach your kids how to ride a bike? Well, I about had a heart attack running behind that bike, trying to keep it steady. So my kids, not so much my kids, my grandkids, because I'm older now, trying to teach them to ride a bike. And they fall, or they, you know what? You don't just learn it. Yes, to be a Christian is a submission. It's a surrender to God. The Holy Spirit moves in, and he starts working from the inside out. He starts working on you. In your own strength, you will fail. Let the Lord work in you through the word of God, through the preaching and teaching and discipling. You don't have to worry about it. You'll never be good enough on your own. The Bible says works won't cut it. In fact, the Bible says that our works is like what? Filthy rags. In the sight of God, you're good. Well, all the wonderful good things you do for people in God's sight is like filthy rags. We think we're pretty good. Well, I did this. I gave this amount of money. I gave this. I treat people nice. I bake cookies for little grandmas or whatever you do. Good for you. In God's sight, it's filthy rags. Only in the sense that it's meaning if you're depending on that for heaven, it's filthy rags. All those things are wonderful. We should give and help and do all those wonderful things. But it doesn't guarantee us anything spiritually. There's only one thing that saves, and that is the blood of Jesus. The Bible says everyone is a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But it goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Gift of God. It's a gift. It's a gift. Pastor Phil, you like to receive gifts? Amen. We all like to receive gifts. Jesus is a gift. So don't go around the blood. Receive the blood, and you'll never regret it. Roadblock number 7, the Holy Spirit. Someone once called the Holy Spirit the hound of heaven. Why? Because he does his best to hound you and hunt you down so you can go to heaven. I remember years ago I went coon hunting. I've only been one time. Not because I'm just not really a hunter, fisherman type guy, but a friend of our family took my dad and my brother and I coon hunting. I was probably about 14. We'd be out there in the middle of the night with flashlights. And those coon dogs, I can't even do it, but they, you know, that's what they'd sound like. Oh, they got one. You can hear them howling. We'd be running through the night and chasing that coon with the dogs would be chasing that coon and finally get that coon up in a tree and we're going to give up. The Holy Spirit's like a hound. He's going to keep hounding you. Same thing. I can't believe Pastor Steve preaching a sermon like this on Mother's Day. It's all heavy stuff. What's wrong with him? I'll tell you what's wrong with me. It's the hound of heaven called the Holy Spirit that said, Steve, I don't want you to preach on anything but on roadblocks to hell. Because God is not willing that any should perish. The Holy Spirit knocks. And he knocks, and he knocks, and he knocks, and he puts up roadblock after roadblock after roadblock, year after year, time after time, saying, please come to me. Come to Jesus. Open the door of your heart. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. As friends. You know God wants to be your friend. Some people have this idea of God that he's up there with a big old hammer just ready to clobber you if you just barely step out of line. That isn't God. He wants to be your friend. He wants to help you. He is for you, not against you. He's got good gifts. He's got good things. And it's all paid for. You don't have to worry about 36 easy monthly payments. Paid in full. So don't go around the roadblock of the Holy Spirit. Say, I don't need that roadblock. I'm getting rid of that roadblock. Sorry, Holy Spirit. Well, I tell you, that's a dangerous thing. You know, the Bible says the Spirit of God won't always strive with man. I wish, you know, the Holy Spirit, God, he is so patient. He gives us chance after chance after chance after chance after chance. But I want to tell you, if you thumb your nose at God long enough, the Holy Spirit, eventually, it's over. And it's certainly over when you take your last breath on this earth. You can't get to heaven and you're standing before God, oh, God, I messed up. I'm sorry, I should have listened. I should have listened to Pastor Steve. I should have listened to my parents. I should have listened to my teachers. I should have listened to the Word. I should have paid attention. God, forgive me, can I go back? And God's going to regrettably say, no, it's too late. It's too late. Too late. In conclusion, before we give you a chance for you to respond, musicians can come. There's actually one more roadblock. I said seven, there's actually eight. You know what the eighth roadblock is? This message right now. This message this morning on Mother's Day, Sunday 2021, is another roadblock. For those who may be here that are not a Christian, for those who may be watching who are not a Christian, for those who have allowed the world to pull them away, and it's time to come back, it's time to repent, it's trying to get back with the Lord, you've been walking in the wrong direction. This sermon is another roadblock. I pray that no one goes to hell and goes around this roadblock. Why not stop where you are right now and do a 180 and say, I'm turning, I'm going the other direction. I see the roads out. I see the way is not safe. I see the Lord saying, no, 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 no. It's time to turn and go back. And embrace the one who died for me. Oh, Father God, help us today. Help us all to be ready. Help us all to have made our reservation to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb by receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, by being washed by the blood of Jesus, by every sin being forgiven. Forgive us, Lord. We're so sorry, Father God, when we fail you. Oh, Father God, speak to hearts. Holy Spirit, hound of heaven, speak to hearts right now. Ma'am, sir, where are you this morning? Where are you spiritually? Where are you spiritually? Oh God, help us, we pray. The Bible says today is the day. Today is the day of salvation, the day of getting our heart right with God. Praise you, Jesus. Speak to us today. The worship team's going to come and sing another song. As they sing, if you would like to respond to this message this morning, if you'd like to be prayed for, maybe rededicate your life to the Lord or be saved, I'd invite you to step out. Come down to this front here. Let me pray with you. Let me pray with you. You say, why do I got to get up in front of everybody? I don't guess you do. But if you're not willing to stand up for God in a church full of attenders that love and serve God, then you're probably not going to make it in the world tomorrow. You got to make a stand. You got to take a stand. You say, God, I want to be bold enough, courageous enough to step out and say, I have a need. I know I'm not what I should be or where I should be. And I'm going to step up today and say, I'm going to accept you, Lord. I'm going to take a step towards you. I'm going to move towards you. I'm going to stand up for you. And you never know what your bold move may do to help others step out as well. So as they sing, if you need God on this Mother's Day Sunday, I don't care if you're 12 or if you're 22 or 62 or 82. You need to be in right relationship with God. And if you've been saved, but you've been walking in the wrong direction, this altar calls for you too. There's times we all have to kneel down and say, God, forgive me. I want to get it right. I want to get it right. I want to continue walking for you. I'm not going to stay down. I may have fallen, but I'm not going to stay down. I'm going to get back up. That's you today. Would you come and let us pray with you today?
Faithful.
And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after.
sing of the goodness of God.
Sing that again. All my life,
all my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good.
With every breath that I am able,
I will sing of the goodness of God. Goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lift your hands and just tell him thank you for his faithfulness. Thank you for his goodness. Thank you for his grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your help. Thank you, Lord, for all the roadblocks you put in our lives, oh God. Oh, Lord, and help us to be a roadblock. That should be our desire as Christians, to be a roadblock for those who are on the wrong path. Lord, help us to be faithful the way you've been faithful to us. Help us, Lord, to be filled with your Spirit, full of your love, Lord, full of your mercy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord.